even the heavens belong to God, but it says the earth I've given it to the sons of men. It was like a judicial, it's like a legal transference of responsibility. But man has not been a good steward. And so we got what we got now. See, ultimately, what you really want to do, God has ownership, and God gives you stewardship. But what you want to do, you know, folks that work for like when they work for law firms or investment firms, the highest thing they could achieve is partnership. So they come and they make contact with ownership, and they're granted stewardship. And if they represent it the right way, they're promoted to partnership. I'm trying to help somebody. So God as ownership and me or you as stewardship, and we can elevate ourselves to partnership where now God is working with you, and that's how you get in favor. You know, that's why doors are opening for you, because now God's in partnership with you. So it don't matter what the devil tried to do, because God is greater than the devil. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. So it don't matter what kind of stuff is trying to come against me, because I'm now in partnership with God. I've messed around and caught his heart. So I read his word enough to know who he is. And because I know who he is, I can reflect him accurately, because now I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. I know what his word says. I know what he commands me. I spend time in prayer. Praise the Lord. I don't know how much that has to do with this message, but I'm sure it was worth something for somebody. Go with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. 17th chapter, Prophet Jeremiah, beginning with the 7th verse. I'm really glad you came to church. Praise the Lord. And I've been praying. I told my wife and my daughter, I said, I was feeling the pressure, man. You know, I got to kick off the October wave. We got all these speakers coming behind me. By the end of this thing, they'll be like, Chuck, who? I remember it was some short black bald guy. He was kind of funny though. I do remember he was good looking. That's, yeah. In my mind, that's the way I was gonna, you know. Amen. If you're there this morning, say amen. Verse number 7, it says this. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. I pray for your spirit to fall in this place, Lord, that you would be right now, God, remove every distraction. I come against any demonic spirit, Lord, any lying devil that would try to hinder your word. I bind in the name of Jesus, Lord. Loose the power of the Holy Ghost upon this assembly of believers this morning, God. That, Lord, you would show yourself mighty and strong in our midst, God. I pray you take control of my mind, my heart, and my tongue. Help me to speak clearly, Father. I thank you, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and praise in the mighty, matchless, and strong name of Jesus. The church said, amen and amen. Once again, I do want to thank God for the privilege of being here, and I want to thank Pastor Robert and Sister Veronica for being gracious enough to allow me and my family to be here. But I do believe that God has something for you today. I want to talk to you about increase. And I'm talking about increase specifically as it relates to money. All right, let me ask you this. How many like more money? I mean, let's don't be, come on, you ain't that spiritual. I know you ain't that holy. I like more money. The only thing I like more than more money is more money than that. I know the Bible says, you know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So, you know, I'm trying my best not to be in love with money. Don't look at me like that. I like it a whole lot. In fact, I always said, if I was single and money was a woman, we'd be going out for sure. But as God's people, God does want to take care of us because we are his sons and daughters. And God is a good father, and much like you as a parent, you know, you don't want your, you know, if your child, you know, tries to walk out the house all raggedy and dirty and mismatched shoes, hair all tore up, come on, mama gonna be like, boy, I know you don't think you going outside looking like that. You ain't going over nobody's house telling them I'm your mama and you look like, boy, you look homeless. You're going to want them to be represented. You're going to want to take care of them before they even step out the door. Now, how much more does your heavenly Father, who has now adopted you into his family, made you a joint heir along with Christ Jesus, you have access to everything that he's given to his son. If you're a joint heir, that means that you got the same privilege and right that the what? Some of you got a joint bank account. Come on, somebody. That means that both people got access to the same thing. And so when God made you a joint heir, he says, what I've given my son as an heir to the kingdom, I've now given you joint access to. So now you have. So God wants to increase his people. I don't know about you. I don't like being broke. I've been broke a bunch of times. And being not broke is better. Passage that I read to you, these two verses in Jeremiah, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Let me ask you this, how many trust in the Lord? How many can say that your hope is the Lord? And then it goes on to say that he or she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heats come, but its leaf will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So here is this tree that seems to be impervious to negativity. I mean, it don't get worried about a drought. It does not fret over intense heat. It is continuing to produce even though everything environmentally seems to suggest that it wouldn't. So see, I'm trying to be that kind of tree. So I begin to ask myself, if the Bible says I'm like a tree, then what is a tree like? How can I be like something if I don't know what it is? If I don't know what makes it tick, I don't understand its workings. You know, one of the beautiful things about being a Christian is that you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. You have wisdom that surpasses the wisdom of the world. That's why in the book of Daniel, it says that when Daniel and his friends were being interviewed by the Babylonians, it says that they found them to be 10 times better. There were other children in there that were being educated the same way, but somehow, because they had the Spirit of God in them, they were 10 times superior to the other children. And that's how come I think that, that's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, see, they were 10 times better. So when they got to the fire and they turned it up 7 times hotter, it didn't matter because they were 10 times better. So if you're 10 times better, you can handle 7 times hotter. What I know is that when it comes to increase, the Bible consistently uses agricultural analogy to explain how God blesses an individual. You see, when you are part of the kingdom, then you are also, you have access, you are subject to the principles of the kingdom. Is that okay? Can we say that today? So that however the kingdom operates, then that means that I need to operate within those principles, because I can't expect the kingdom to work if I'm working outside of it. So no matter what you participate in, there's going to be guidelines, structure, there's rules. You play football, you can't run out of bounds, because you play baseball, I don't care how far you hit it, if it's a foul ball, you ain't getting nothing. You like basketball, you shoot that three-pointer from out of bounds, sounds real good, look good going through the net, don't count. Because there are principles. I don't want to use the word rules, because rules sounds too rigid. But there are principles, and a principle is just basically how things work. We call it the law of gravity, but you could in fact call it the principle of gravity. That it pulls everything down. That's what gravity does. That's just how it works. And so God gives us principles in His Word of how things work. And our problem is sometimes is that we want things to work, but we don't want to work it the way it's supposed to work. We just want it to work because we... So then, I understand that God uses not just agriculture, but even horticulture to help us develop a giving culture. Let me say that one more time. God uses not only agriculture, but also horticulture to help us develop a giving culture. See, God is trying to bring us to the place of increase, but some of us are resisting because we still don't want to function the way that God is asking us to. But see, if I follow this line of thinking about the tree, then I'm left to consider the seed that the tree produces. See, because the only thing that causes a tree to be successful is what it does with its seed. As a matter of fact, I want to put this title up here. I've titled this message today, Surrender Your Seed. And I use the word surrender because surrender suggests that it's something that you do because you realize you're in a fight you cannot win. That's what people do. That's when they surrender. Once they understand that they're incapable of coming out on top, then it becomes wise to surrender. Amen? And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes my seed fights against me. When I'm talking the word seed, I'm using the word seed as it relates to finances. I realize that you could come up here afterwards and you could say to me, well, Pastor Chuck, you know that in the Bible that seed also talks about the gospel. You heard what I said. I'm talking about finances. I had somebody write me a little note after I preached this. I'm like, boy, get out of here. I didn't say that I'm not aware of the other things, other illustrations of seed, but the Bible also at different places talks about seed. It talks about sowing and reaping as it relates to finances. Is that all right? Trees release their seed through a process called seed dispersal. Did a little studying on this because I wanted to understand if I'm going to be that kind of tree, then I want to know how can I be that kind of tree. See, because I want to prosper no matter what. I don't care if they're saying on television that there's a recession or a depression or things are going bad or the job market is failing or the economy is in trouble. I don't want to care about none of that. I want to be able to say, you know what, it don't matter because I'm not operating according to what they say on television. I'm operating according to the principles of the kingdom of God. And my God is not broke. My God is not in no recession. He's not in no depression. My God is not having any kind of problem. He owns everything. He made everything that was made, and nothing was made that was made without Him. So that means that He is, come on, somebody, He's able to bless me going in, coming out, in a recession, in a depression. It don't matter what's going on. My bills can get paid. Come on, somebody, food can be on my table. I can be able to take care of the things I need to take care of, and I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So it uses this process called seed dispersal. And seed dispersal, I thought they were going to put my title up there, but I guess they just ain't going to do it. So I don't care what you say, man. We ain't putting that title up there. Ain't nobody scared of you. Seed dispersal allows plants to reach specific habitats that are favorable for survival. It is a hypothesis known as directed dispersal. And seed survival is often higher away from the parent plant. That's what it says in the encyclopedia. So let me try to just explain that for a second. So here is this tree. It does not think. It does not reason like you or me. It doesn't have the brain or the mind that we have. But this tree understands something. It understands that in order for it to be productive, successful, it has to surrender its seed. But not only does it understand that, it has a process that's called directed dispersal. So this tree says, I understand that I cannot. It says that it is often more successful away from the parent plant. So the tree says, all of this ground right here near me, my roots are kind of like utilizing all of the minerals and the nutrients that are right around here. So I really don't want to sow my seed here. I need to sow it somewhere else. So I can't just sow all of my seed into my own ground. Sometimes I'm sowing seed in Macy's. Don't look at me like that. I'm sowing seed into all these other places so I could get the stuff that I want for me. But when I'm sowing it, I'm just sowing into my own ground, and I don't really see any real productivity come from it. But if I sow it somewhere else, when I send it away from me, when I begin to sow it where it's not going to, then God can do what he wants to do with it. But it says, but our hope is the Lord. Our trust is the Lord. So then if you're a tree, then you have to. There are different methods by which a tree surrenders its seed, and I want to talk about those this morning. Can I do that? Because I believe that there are many of us today who need to appropriate God's principles for increase regardless of what season we're in. See, it wouldn't matter to me. You say to me, well, Pastor Chuck, you don't understand the season I'm in. You know, I'd be surrendering some seed if I was in a better season. Put me in a more favorable season and I'll surrender some seed. But when the season changes, I might not be able to. You don't understand. I'm going through some stuff. When I get it together, I'm going to start sowing again. But there are four methods of seed dispersal that we want to examine this morning. And they are wind, fire, gravity, and water. First of all, let's say this. God will use wind to disperse our seed. You see, a tree with deep roots is not displaced by the wind. When the wind blows, the tree is not concerned about being moved. This tree is rooted in its place, but it needs the wind. Typically in the Bible, I find that the wind is symbolic for the work of the Holy Spirit. So generally speaking, usually when it talks about wind, Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, listen, the wind blows where it wishes. The disciples were in the upper room and something came in the room and said it sounded like a mighty rushing wind. See, what you have to understand is that sometimes when the wind begins to blow in your life, you're in that stormy season and you don't realize that the wind is trying to move your seed. See, it's trying to get you to surrender your seed. You're holding on, but you don't understand that the wind is trying to help you get it somewhere else. You see, what these trees do is that they wait for the wind to blow. I don't care what kind of tree it is. I don't care if it's a fruit tree, a maple tree. I don't care what kind of tree. Every tree has some kind of seed, and it uses the wind to blow its seed and take it away from me. Put it over there somewhere. You know, you look out in the forest, and you will see thousands of trees of the same species, and you might be inclined to think, I wonder who came out here and planted all of those trees. Well, let me tell you what happened. Somebody planted a couple of trees and the trees planted the rest of the trees because they surrendered their seed and more trees. I was in D.C. when I was there pastoring. One time I was getting gas and I was going through some changes and I was asking God, you know, I was going through time, I can't grow, man. I can't grow in this place. I wish I was in a place where I could grow. And I know, don't none of y'all say that, because they say that at the other churches I go to. I wish I was somewhere where I can grow. I'm at the gas station, and I'm under the awning where you pump your gas. And I look up, and I notice coming out of the corner of the awning, a tree was growing out of it. And I thought, well, how in the world is that tree growing from up there? The Spirit of God began to speak to me. He said, well, you know these trees around here. They have seed. And when the windy season comes, they surrender it. And so one of them seeds, it traveled through the air. It found its way into that tiny crack on top of that arm. But the wind also picked up a bunch of dust. And that dust and that dirt blew through the air. And it found its way into that crack. And the dirt settled on top of the seed. And sooner or later, the rain came. And then the rain came, and the water got into that crack also on top of the dirt that was on top of the seed. And then the seed began to sprout inside of that. And there was a tiny little crack where the sun was sticking through. And the tree began to search for the sunlight because it needed the sun in order so that it could grow. So it grew right out of the side of there. And God said, if that tree could grow in that little crack inside of that awning, what's wrong with you? Always an opportunity that you and I have to realize that sometimes in that windy season, sometimes when that wind is blowing, sometimes that's the ideal time to say, wait a minute, I better surrender some seed right now. This is the opportunity for me to grow. This is an opportunity for me to flourish. I'm sitting up here worried about what's going on, but what is going on is God is trying to say, it's your time, it's your season. I'm trying to get some seed away from you so you can be able to benefit from it. You start seeing some productivity. You start seeing some growth. You start seeing some blessing begin to come your way. Ain't nothing better than trusting God in the worst of times. When everything looks crazy, you begin to demonstrate your faith and say, hold on, I'm like a tree. I got to surrender this seed. Trees don't panic with the wind. They were waiting for it. They said, man, I got this seed up here. I sure be glad when this wind blows. I don't want no seed right here. I want it over there somewhere. I need to get it away from me. So not only will God use wind to disperse our seed, but God will also use fire to disperse our seed. Now you might find this a little odd, but listen to this. Fire is the mechanism by which some forest trees are regenerated. The jack pine produces serotonin resin-filled cones that are very durable and need fire to release their seed. You've seen it before. Some of you have picked up a pine cone and it's sticky. It's got like an adhesive on it. And it's tight. And these jack pines, they grow out in the forest and the seed is in the cone. But it can't get the seed out unless the cone opens. And because of this adhesive, this cone cannot open. So the jack pine and many other pine trees are waiting for a forest fire. You see, we see a forest fire and we think, hurry up and put it out, but the pine tree says, let it burn. I need this fire. You see, after a period of time, what happens is that this tree understands something. Over the course of a few years, there are all kinds of leaves and debris and twigs and so many different things that are on the bottom, pine needles and just maybe 6 inches to a foot deep all across the forest floor. And the pine tree is saying, it wouldn't make no sense for me to surrender my seed down here right now. It would never get to the ground. It would never get to the dirt. Even if it did get to the dirt, it's too much stuff on top of it. It would never get no sunlight. It wouldn't even be able to grow. This would be a bad situation. preparation for me. So what do I need? I need a fire to come. Some people say, there was reading that it says that a pine cone needs about 650 degrees Fahrenheit in order to open. Your oven don't hit 650. So the pine tree waits, because now the fire will come. It'll burn away all of this debris that's down here on the ground. It'll make a clear path to the dirt, so that now it begins to make its way up the tree. It finally gets up. It begins to heat up this cone. And once the resin starts to melt, that resin melts, and then the pine cone, it pops and it releases the seed. And then the seed goes down and more pine trees begin to grow. So you think that fire was harming something, but all the fire was doing what it was supposed to do. The fire that you might be going through right now. You might say, I wish I wasn't in this fire, but the fire is trying to release your seed. That fire is burning away all of the sin, all of the corruption, all of the dirt that's in your life. Stuff is getting burned away so you can be free to release. Oh, y'all ain't trying to hear me today. I wish this was a shouting church, amen, because God is trying to help somebody be able to get what it is that they desire to see. I don't know about y'all, but I want some increase in my life. I want to begin to see things change. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being desperate. I'm tired of going through changes. I might have to surrender my seed today. Somebody is saying, wait a minute, I should have did better when I gave today. We had ourselves a little National Geographic moment. So that fire that you might be dealing with may be just what you need. All that junk that's been in the way, it's been hindering your seed. God said, I'm burning it away. Come on, somebody says, I'm burning it away so that you'll be able to see some productivity. I love in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, it talks about how when Paul, He began to wreak havoc on the church, dragging off men and women to jail. It says that a persecution arose in Jerusalem after Stephen had been martyred. But then it says that everybody went everywhere preaching. It says they were scattered. I like the word scattered, because scattered is like it's an agricultural term. It's talking about like scattering seed. You see, the persecution represented the fire. Hear me now. The persecution represented the fire that was unleashed upon the church. But rather than the church dying, the church grew. Yes, yes, yes. The people began to flourish because they surrendered. God said, look, I'm going to surrender my seed. And he began to sow to people like seed all over the place. And the church continued to flourish, because even while the fire was burning, all the fire did was cause them to... Somebody right now, your ministry is ready to just pop. Somebody, your business is ready to just pop right now. Somebody, your whole situation is about to pop and change, because the heat is coming. And that fire is just going to get you to the place that you can release what God wants you to release. You're going to start to see some changes. Somebody, how many ready to see change today? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to say, wait a minute, God has got a purpose and a plan for my life. See, God gonna change somebody's mind about money today. Begin to realize how much we need to trust God. Tell you something, boy. I got saved, but my wallet didn't get saved. It was like I came to the altar and it stayed back. It's like, man, this thing is not saved. You didn't want to trust God. And there's times that I still have to fight with the natural mind, because see, the natural mind just says, wait a minute, you know, okay, so keep and I have more. But God says, no. You give, and it shall be given. And he says, then guess what? Press down, shaking together, and run it over. For a long time, I didn't understand it. I like saying it, though, because it was good preaching. Oh, awesome. I'm going to get this one in before this message is over. Press down, shaking together and running over. I just need a couple of witnesses. Somebody say amen. If you want it, press down, shaking together, running over. I remembered when I was a young man or a young boy, and before all the cities was broke, we used to get summer jobs. Come on, some of y'all remember that? Yeah, summer jobs. You go to, they usually give you a job at a park, put you out there to clean up. I don't care how smart you are, they handing you a broom, rake, mop, something like that, you know, so you forget all that working in the office. Go out there to the little job, and, you know, I'm like 13, 14 years old. I'm really more concerned about getting paid than actually working. I want to know when's payday. That's what I want to know. When's payday? How much do I get? And then let me go downtown so I can buy my own clothes. Come on, somebody. You know, my mama didn't have a bunch of money. You know, I go down there, you know, I'm going to get what she want to buy me. Here you go, baby. Yeah, thanks, Mom. Thanks a lot. I'm wearing this at school. Got to get clowned all year. It's like, shoot, Mom, I need some of that stuff they wear on Soul Train. You know? Y'all don't hear me, though. So he tells me to rake up some leaves. And so I rake up the leaves and I fill up the trash can. I go back and I tell my supervisor, well, it's done. It's finished. It's done. So he goes over there to the can. He says, shake it. I shook it and the leaves went down a little bit. Then he said, now press it. So then I pressed it and they went down even further. Then he filled it up again. He said, shake it. Shook it, pressed it. Every time I feel it, shake it, press it, shake it, press it, shake it, press it. Pretty soon I couldn't press it and shake it because it was running over. So God says, when I give it back to you, I'm giving it back. It ain't just going to look full, it's going to be full. That's one thing for it to look full, it's another thing for it to be full. I bless you so much that it's pressed down, shaken together, running over with good measure. That's how God gives back. So I don't know what's wrong with you, but I know I want to make sure that God is giving back to me that way. So I got to surrender my seed. Thirdly, God will use gravity to disperse our seed. Now, when gravity is used to disperse seed, it's because the fruit is fully ripened or heavy, or seed. Because the seed is inside the fruit. Can I get a witness? So it's really not about the fruit, it's about the seed. When a tree drops that fruit, he's not necessarily worried about dropping the fruit, he's worried about dropping the seed. So the weight of the fruit or the seeds causes it to simply drop. Now, this could maybe create a little bit of a conundrum for you, because you could go back and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Chuck. You said trees don't like to sow their seed right next to the tree. And now you're telling me that gravity just going to drop the fruit right there. But that don't make no sense. But see, this tree understands that it cooperates with its environment. It realizes there are animals that eat my fruit. I'm dropping it down so one of these animals can get it. There are birds that eat fruit and they don't chew it and spit out the seed like you and me. They swallow the whole thing. So this animal comes along, bird, whatever it might be, it swallows the entire fruit. It then walks itself a few miles away from the tree. It then passes what? Come on, I'm And so now the seed has gotten to where the tree wanted it to get to, and now the tree can produce somewhere else because somebody else took the seed and took it somewhere else. So I don't know about y'all, sometimes you come to church and you hold in heavy, and then that offering basket comes by, and then you just gotta drop that seed inside. They could take it somewhere else. I don't care where it goes. Take it to Africa. Take it to Brazil. Take it to Panama. I don't care where it goes. My seed needs to go somewhere else so it could do some good, because it'll bless somewhere else. I'm just putting it, gravity is causing me to let it go right here. I let it go here, take it somewhere else, get it away from me. I don't want it to come on somebody, because if I bless myself, God can't bless me. But if I bless somebody else, then God can return it back to me. So I got to utilize that gravity. Well, I'm trying to help somebody. So God is using wind, he's using fire, he's even using gravity to help us to surrender our seed. Some of us today, man, if you received this word into your life, this will revolutionize your thinking. Hey, let me tell you something. I preached this message in one church. Man, them people was coming up just dropping money on the altar. I was still preaching, man. I ain't lying. They started just bringing money. They was like, get that. I want to get this, surrender my seed right now. Right now. I ain't waiting. I got to do it right now. I got some seed right now. I need to surrender. Let me get the musicians to come as I'm going to try to bring this thing home. See, God also used water to surrender our seed, to disperse our seed. We all got to participate in the process of seed dispersal. We were driving out here. I was looking on the side of the road. I seen all those Joshua trees up there in the Antelope Valley. I was telling my daughter, I said, see all them Joshua trees? They're all over the place. And like I told her, I said, really? The Joshua trees are planting the other Joshua trees. It's their own seed. They surrender it, they produce more trees. But see, like I said, I want to be that tree. I don't care how hot it gets. I don't care if it's a drought. I don't care what's going on. You know, isn't that an amazing thing? To see a tree be still productive even in those negative situations. God gave me a message about a cactus. And you know, the amazing thing about a cactus is that one of the reasons why cactus can survive in the harshest of environments, they store water. They store water. They don't let their roots go too deep. They keep their roots up near the surface because they realize it don't rain too often. Where they are, when it rains, they want to make sure they get that water up real quick before it try to get away. And they soak up water and then they hold on to some because they say it might not rain again for 4 or 5 months. I don't know, maybe 6 months. I got to hold on to some of this water because I don't know when it's going to get a little bit more. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you're here in church and then you hear getting water right here. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the living water. You know, you come here to church and you keep up. That the word of God becomes water for your soul, but what you got to do is you got to store it up. That's why you memorize the scripture, because you're storing water. You say, wait a minute, I got to memorize some of this stuff, man. I got to memorize. That's why sometimes I might have to recall that scripture that says, wait a minute, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I might have to recall that scripture that says, wait a minute, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk according to the spirit and not according to the flesh. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I might have to memorize that scripture that says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I don't know what I might have to remember. I might have to calm back some of that water. I'm storing it for later. I don't know, it might not rain for a while, but I got enough water to survive a drought. I wish I had a witness in this place. I got enough water to survive when it don't rain. I kept some for later. There are trees that grow in the water. That's where they grow. Sometimes you look in a river and you see there's plants literally growing inside the river. They got seed too. They surrender their seed directly into the water. And they allow the water to take their seed. They take it somewhere. It'll lodge maybe on the bank somewhere down the river, and it'll produce more. And that plant says, that's how I surrender my seed. I just let it go. So then if the water is Jesus, because the Bible says he's the living water. He's the well that never runs dry. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, somebody. When David was in that stronghold, David said, oh, that somebody would give me a drink from the water that's in the well that's by the gate of Bethlehem. He wanted Jesus. He was crying out for that water, the living water. I surrender my seed. I put it in Jesus' hands. I just say, you know what? I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to put it in Jesus' hands because I know Jesus will take it where it needs to go, and he'll do what it needs to do. Come on, somebody. I just wish I had a couple of people in here that would get excited about getting a little bit of increase in their life. Somebody ought to be excited because God is trying to increase you. God is trying to bless you. God is trying to take you further. Well, you got to surrender your seed if you want to see that productivity. And your seed is so powerful. Every seed has an outer shell. And the seed has to break through the outer shell before it can grow. Doesn't matter how hard that shell is. Some of you like peaches. You know, that peach, when you get down to the seed, man, it's got a hard shell outside that seed. You would think, how? How can a seed grow through that? The power of that seed. Now let me say this too. Let me say this before I close. Because, see, one of the things that you got to understand is that I think sometimes we sow seed and we just sow it kind of blindly. But see, a seed is genetically designed to reproduce itself. So that's why if I sow a seed from a cherry, I can grow a cherry tree. If I sow a seed from an apple, I can only grow an apple tree. I can't grow nothing else because this seed is genetically designed. God has given it its own DNA, and its own DNA demands that it come back the same way. So now what happens with my financial seed? See, I'm getting ready to sow it, but maybe I haven't given it a name. But I understand that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who enjoy it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I begin to speak to this seed, and I declare and I decree by faith that I'm sowing a financial seed, because if I sow it as a financial seed, it has to come back as finances. I don't know what you... I put a name on it. I began to declare, this is what I'm sowing it for, God. And it comes back as what it is, because why? It has got... I've now given it a DNA. I've now given it a genetic code. And now that I've given it a genetic code and a DNA, it has to do what it's supposed to do. It's got to come back the way it was. So I've now begun to say what it is. If you don't say what it is, it can come back any kind of way. But I begin to speak over my seed. If I need finances, I sow a financial seed for a financial harvest. I wish somebody in this church would shout amen today. Phew. I believe God wants to release a financial revival in your church. And just need some folk to start acting like trees. Start being a tree. And start saying, wait a minute, I gotta surrender my seed. That's how come when the heat comes, it don't panic. That's how come in a season of drought, it still got green leaves producing. It don't even make no sense for people to look at that tree and say, it shouldn't be green. It shouldn't be productive. People look at you and think of all the stuff you've been through and they say, you shouldn't be smiling. You shouldn't be rejoicing. You shouldn't have victory. I don't understand. How do you have victory? How do you have joy? How do you have peace? How do you have all these things in your life when all this chaos is going on around you? You say, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the power of Jesus Christ living in me. I begin to sow for these things. I've sown for my peace. I've sown for my joy. I've sown for my victory. Everything that I have is because I've sown to God. God has brought it. Amen. I want to pray for anybody this morning who says,